is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. We've heard them all, the goody-goodies who keep crying out, "Judge not." Evidently, that's caused a lot of controversy. We're getting emails into the ministry and letters, and some people don't seem to agree with us. I suppose they want to judge us. And the interesting thing about the critics that are writing me is they're saying, "Tex Mars, we don't agree with you. You're wrong. We really believe that you should not judge your brother." And they love to quote Matthew 7, verse 1, although most of the people who write to me and criticize us here at Bible Home Church don't really quote Matthew 7, verse 1. They really don't even know that it is Matthew 7, verse 1. But they know the line. It's sort of batted about with regularity today in society. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." I know I was watching one of the major network news programs back during the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And one of the Democrats, who is, by the way, just happened to be Jewish and a big backer of President Bill Clinton, just castigated the Republican Congress for having the audacity to impeach Bill Clinton. And he said, perhaps the Republican Congress should heed Jesus' words, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Well, I was sort of shocked. This heathen person who's not even a Christian, who I'm quite positive doesn't know where that's at in the Bible, he nevertheless quoted Jesus. Oh, my friends, even the pagan and the heathen love to quote that verse. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And it seems to scare away and frighten and shut up a lot of Christian believers. Because who can deny that Jesus said it? Well, in the series we had here on Bible Church, however, we showed that's taken out of context. And if you read all of the seventh chapter of Matthew, you'll find that the meaning there is very, very different than the meaning ascribed to it by the world. Oh, we have a Savior, my friend, that is a judge. We have a Savior who is going to come and judge the world and make war. It says in Revelation 19, verse 11, "He doth judge and make war." And I want you to know something, my friends. We're going to have a beautiful piece of music here, and then I want to come back. And yes, I'm going to talk a final time today. I hope it's final. And I don't want to use this kind of language very much, but yes, I'd like to shut the mouths of those who keep saying and misquoting Jesus. I just can't hardly stand it when they misquote our Lord. They can misquote Tex Mars all day long, and they do. They take things I say out of context and turn me into a devil. Sometimes I read things about myself. I get mad at the person I'm reading about. I say, "This must be a horrible person." And get to the end, they say it's Tex Mars. I said, "Well, wait, I'm a nice guy." This person saying things that aren't even true about me, and they're saying things that they've taken out of context. I had one man that wrote a newsletter, and he sent it all over in the United States. He says, "Tex Mars does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God." He went on TV and said it. Well, of course, that's silly. that's not true at all. But what can you do? There are liars out there, and Mark Twain once said something that I always found humorous, but pretty profoundly true. He said, "A lie can get its boots on and be halfway across the United States before the truth has even had time to tie its shoes." And I believe that. A lie can grab its boots, put them on, and be halfway across the United States before the truth has even had time to tie its shoes and go out the door. Well, sometimes that's true. The liars are fast and on the move. Well, we're going to talk about that today. And, you know, you're going to find out that you're a judge. You say, oh, no, I've never been a judge. I've never gone to law school. I'm not a lawyer. Oh, hold it. You're going to find out today here on Bible Home Church, you are the judge. But first, of course, we're going to have some beautiful music. This is a song that's so popular with many in the gospel field, and it's because of the meaning of it. What a Savior by the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. And right after this song, I'm going to tell you why you are a judge.
I was straying down in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven. Found my Jesus, and then he saved a poor lost soul like me.
Oh, what a
for
What a Savior. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to talk to you a little bit more today about judging. You know, Jesus Christ himself is certainly a judge. And he is going to judge the whole world in righteousness, the Bible says. Now, by the way, I want to give you the verse. I love to give the verses because some people ask me. Acts 17, verse 31. Did you know that there's no secret that you can keep from God? Because it says in Revelation that God shall judge the secrets of men. But it also says something really interesting. It says the saints shall judge the world. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. Paul says, don't you know, don't you understand that you're to judge the angels someday? We're going to judge the world, judge the angels. Wow, what a heavy responsibility. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, Paul said something I found very interesting. He told the church of Corinth, he said, judge ye what I say. How could we possibly judge the words of an apostle? But that's what we have there in the Bible. Judge ye what I say. Paul castigated one Christian church, as you'll remember, because they had a very terrible sin situation going on in their church, a terrible problem of sexual sin within a family, and the church was doing nothing about it. And Paul wrote him a letter and said, I've already judged the man concerned who's guilty of this, and I'm not even there with you. And basically, the Apostle Paul says, how dare you not judge those that are within the church? He said, those that are without, in other words, those that are outside the church, judge them not. But those that are inside the church, you judge. Did you know that the Bible tells us not to take our brother to court? You have a dispute with a Christian brother or sister? You better get it resolved within the church. You say, well, it's a lot easier just to go see a lawyer and take him to court. Well, you better be very, very careful in doing something like that. In fact, you better not do it at all. Now, if you want to sue somebody outside the church, that's your business. Make sure God's Holy Spirit wants you to. I'd say that. But on the other hand, don't go about suing somebody in the church. You know, brothers sue each other left and right today. Two businessmen go to church. One thinks he's cheated by the other one. He goes out and sues him. Takes him to court. That's serious business, and that's a violation of God. Why? Because the church is to judge these things. Now, when you judge someone, though, they could be offended. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Let me tell you something. That's evidently what happens to me. You see, there are a lot of people who have heroes out there, whether it's a Billy Graham or a Pope John Paul II or Benny Hinn or someone else. And if I say one thing that's true but appears to be negative about the teaching of such a person, believe me, I'll get the letters from their fans. I was recently reading in a Christian newsletter about Jesus being... Well, I don't want to compare myself with Jesus, but you know, he is my role model. I want to emulate and, yes, copy his behavior. You know, the Bible talks about in Revelation 13, the image of the beast. But God originally made us in the image of God, and that's what we're supposed to maintain, that purity, that innocence, so that we will retain ourselves as the image of God. But the world is going to be worshiping after the image of the beast, the Bible says. Now, Jesus evidently offended many people. And I must say, evidently, I'm not going to pride myself, but maybe I'm doing a pretty good job because I seem to be offending a lot of people too. Matthew 11, verse 6 is really something. It says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You see, when Jesus came, he said to the Pharisees, the Jews, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Ooh, he offended them. Then he declared that he was God. that he and the Father are one. And they said, this is offensive. You are offending us. How dare you? This newsletter, because Christian newsletter says, and I'm going to just quote it. It sounds strange what they say here, but I want you to check out their Bible verses and ask yourself, are they telling the truth about Jesus? Why, everybody says he's so loving and kind and gentle. He would never offend anybody. Jesus admitted, though, that there are many who are offended. And Jesus himself said that woe to those who are offended. You see, if you say, well, that offends me, and it's the Word of God, and Jesus wrote the Word of God, then I'm telling you, you're finding Jesus offensive. I was recently reading where some Jewish groups have gotten together, and boy, they're just blasting the King James Bible, and they say, that Bible must be changed. It offends the Jews. At the Passion Play in Oberammergau, Germany, it's the largest Easter Passion Play in the world. People come from all over the world to see this Passion Play, the story of Jesus' crucifixion. But they saw one a little bit different this year. They took out all references to the Jews. You know where the Bible says, for example, that Pilate put before them both Barabbas and Jesus and said he would release one of them and gave them the right to judge which should be released at the Passover? And the people, the Jews, it says in the Bible, the Jews cried out, give us Barabbas. And Pilate tried to say, well, wait, but I find no fault in this man, Jesus. Are you saying you would prefer that Barabbas be freed instead of Jesus? And the Jews cried out even the more, give us Barabbas. They judged. And they judged that Jesus should be put to death for blasphemy and that a common criminal, Barabbas, should be released and set free, pardoned by the Roman governor. They were offended. The Jews were. And now they're offended that that verse is in the Bible, those passages. And now across the world, churches are changing their Easter Passion Plays and taking out such references so no one will know who demanded the crucifixion of Jesus. He offends. This Christian newsletter says Jesus Christ has caused more offense than any person in history. He is either a sanctuary or a stumbling stone, Isaiah 8 verse 14. He was an offense to his own nation and still is, Romans 9 verse 33. Jesus offended the Pharisees, Matthew 15, 12. He offended the people of his own hometown, Matthew chapter 13 verses 54 through 58. He offended superficial disciples, John chapter 6. His cross is an offense, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And now, says this newsletter, and now apparently Jesus and his modern day followers, that's you and I, Jesus and his modern day followers have become an offense to America and the New World Order. If you believe in Jesus and say only through Jesus can a man be saved or a woman, only this foundation, only this name, the world will hate you and despise you, and they will say, this is offensive to us. You are intolerant. You are a bigot. You are a religious hater. Now, in doing so, my friends, they judge you. They are judging you. They judge that you are an evildoer. And someday, Jesus said, they will judge that you are worthy of death for these transgressions whereby they have judged you. Yes, the world is constantly judging the Christian today. Jesus says that in the last days they will kill you and think that they do God service. They will then, I believe, say, God, we have judged this woman worthy of death. We are serving you in torturing her and putting her away. They think they're doing good. Remember the woman caught in adultery? They were going to stone her to death. They also later on stoned Stephen. And they said, in stoning the Stephen, I'm sure many said, we have done God a great service. And in stoning the woman caught in adultery, even though no doubt she had repented of this great sin, and that's why Jesus said, go and sin no more. Nevertheless, they said, we're doing a wonderful service to our God. We judge this Stephen worthy of death for what things he has said about this imposter Jesus. So you see, they judge us, but then they turn around and tell you, judge not. I can't tell you how many times I've been on radio talk shows or at conferences and people have come up to me and lambasted me from pillar to post. And then they say, Tex Mars, you're a horrible person. You are so judgmental. And I want to grab them by the shoulders, but I'm too nice to do that. I just sort of take it. I usually quote the Bible to them. But it's interesting to me. I want to grab them perhaps sometime and say, are you not judging me? What gives you the right to judge me? Am I your servant? But of course I am their servant. We serve our fellow man here on earth as well as our God. Now, I want you to understand, my friends, that there is a definition that is necessary we must know for the word judge. What does it mean to judge? Well, simply this, it means to discriminate amongst alternatives, to decide what is the best alternative or option or choice or path or procedure or method or course of action or product. It's to decide the parameters of something. It's to diagnose. It's to gather all of the facts as accurately as you can have them, analyze them, and decide the truth or what should be from what is. In a word, to judge is to discern. A jury in a murder trial discerns whether or not the individual is guilty. What does the evidence say? In every field of work and endeavor, judging is very necessary. A referee or an umpire in sports, whether baseball or football or boxing or soccer or basketball, must make decisions. They must judge. Sometimes very minute detail. Sometimes very little to go on. In an NFL football game, a split-second decision must be made by the referee on the spot. A doctor giving you an operation for brain surgery, for example, has to make very important decisions. And all of his intuition and knowledge and talent must go into that decision. A gardener has to make decisions. Where to prune, how to prune, how much to prune, how much to water, when to water, how much to fertilizer, what to fertilize. An auto mechanic must diagnose, discern what the problem is before he even begins. And I'm telling you, that makes for a lot of headaches. I've had cars, I take them down and they work and they charge me several $100 worth of work and I take the car out and it's the same problem. I bring it back and say, you didn't fix anything. And they said, oh, well, you know, the thing that we fixed wasn't the problem after all. It was this other thing. Now it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars more. Well, I tell them I would like for you to have discerned in the first place so that now I'm paying for two things. Of course, usually they will say, oh, well, that needed it anyway, what we fixed. Whether it does or not, you know, I'm not always able to judge myself because I'm not a mechanic. They are. Judging. Now, what characteristics can be found in a good judge? You don't want somebody to rush to judgment. You don't want somebody to prejudge, to have prejudice. You want somebody to have the facts and the truth. That's the wonderful thing about God. Did you know that He has all the facts and all the knowledge? That's why He's such a good judge. And in His judging, He uses tenderness and mercy. I'm telling you, my friends, you don't want justice from God. You want mercy. Because He knows too much about you and me. Now, understanding is another word for judging. To understand. Now, to understand, though, to be a good judge, to have the facts, as a Christian, we must have a manual or an operating guide. You know, mechanics do. Astronauts have a guide. I was an Air Force officer. I can't tell you how many guides I had. Pilots have a guide. What is our guide? The Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. The Bible tells us to judge. It tells us to judge righteous judgment. Read all of Matthew 7. I don't have time to talk more about it today. You'll see that Jesus in Matthew 7 says, exercise righteous judgment. Judge not that ye be not judged, but he says, don't be a hypocrite. Exercise righteous judgment. And that's what we must do. Now, if we disregard the stain of sin, either in ourselves or in our brothers and sisters within the church, if we refuse to judge, we make a mockery of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and the truth is not in us. Yes, by all means, do judge righteously. This is Tex Mars. I hope you'll tune in next week here as we worship again at Bible Home Church.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.